Good morning, Deb, and thank you for joining me on Carve Today. You're here to talk about the new museum at Bundanon in the Shoalhaven region of New South Wales, and the land that the museum is being built on was a gift from prominent Australian artist Arthur Boyd and his wife Yvonne. Who was Arthur Boyd, and what legacy did the Boyd family leave on the Australian art landscape?
Yeah, hi Sally. Look, yeah, Bundanon was a gift of Arthur and Yvonne Boyd, and it's really interesting and quite an audacious thing to do, because at the time, he wanted to give the property from the early 1980s, so it took him about 10 years to persuade the government that they should have the take it on, you know. I think they thought it would be expensive, and I can confirm that it is expensive to run. But he really felt very passionately that, you know, you shouldn't own anything, and that things should be shared. Things as beautiful and wonderful as Bundanon should be shared. And so when he set out to give the property, I spoke to his accountant, and his accountant said, Arthur said, well, I want you to organise this. And he said, you'll have to make a list of everything you're giving. And Arthur said, why don't you write just everything? And so he really did give everything, the house, all the land that they owned, all the artworks they owned, all the furniture, of course, and also a lot of very personal items. We have, you know, family passport photos and letters and the children's diaries and holiday snaps. And so this incredible record of what you identified as this amazing Australian artistic dynasty, because Arthur not only had talented children who were around, and indeed many grandchildren who are all artists and all very talented, but all his siblings were artists, and his parents were artists, and his grandparents were artists, and his cousins were artists. And not all visual artists, but mostly. Some were writers, and there's a lot of musicians in the family. So there is a kind of... So there's obviously a legacy of all their work, but there's also a kind of legacy in the thinking, and amongst other things, I would say that, you know, it's great to be creative. You can be a professional artist. That is a thing. And in fact, I think if you're a Boyd, you're kind of obliged to be an artist, like no pressure, you know. So that's part of the legacy, is, you know, both those ideas that you can be, it's essential to be creative, and that you should share the things you have, you know, which is really for the greater good. I mean, which is what he did. Of course, there's other kinds of legacies associated with the Bundanon gift itself, beyond just sort of Arthur's intentions or his integrity, if you like. Yeah.
The Boyd family gifted the land to the Australian government in 1993, and this year there will be an art museum on that land. But what has the land been used for up until 2021?
Well, of course, Bundanon has always been a kind of living art centre since that 1993 date. In fact, even a bit before, because Arthur was sharing the property a lot with other artists and so on. But when the government accepted the gift in 1993, they set up a group of people to oversee it and work with Arthur to realise his vision. And I guess in those first stages, there were two components of that, really. One was to establish a wonderful artist-in-residence program for artists from all over the world and all disciplines. And so that was the first part, because Arthur had already been doing quite a lot of that. Whenever he went back to Europe, he would let other artists stay at on the many houses and make work, use his studio and all of that. But the other component was to build a big education centre, which was designed by three wonderful architects, the most prominent being Glenn Murcutt and his now wife, Wendy Lewin, and Reg Lark. So they designed this incredible building, which was designed for school children to stay on the property and learn about art. And that was the other big component. Of course, that building is so sensational. It's a really beautiful sound shell, actually, for music and performance, as well as a great place to make paintings and stay. So the trust has been activating both those places on the property for the 25 years, as well as being open to people at the weekend to go and look at Arthur's house and his existing studio, you know, his remnant studio and all of those things, but also artists, waves of artists coming through, up to 300 or 400 a year actually come through the property, which is quite amazing. Because the Boyd Education Centre has sleeping for 32 people. So you can have whole orchestras in there, and we've had dance companies, theatre companies, groups of architects, as well as lots of individual artists staying in the houses and the residency complex, composers, people writing opera, choreographers, you know, every kind of rock musician you've ever met, and of course all the painters, like seriously, you know, I don't know, Cat Empire and Katie Noonan and, you know, Lior, like everybody's been there. So it's been a really, really lively place, and gazillions of school children going through every year because they come and stay in the Boyd Education Centre and explore the property and do this art making situated in the bush. You know, it's very, very special. It's quite unique in Australia, possibly the world, actually. It's really amazing. And kids come from all over the country. Big program for disadvantaged kids, so everyone gets a crack, you know. So we've been doing that and having lots of open days and concerts, and also working with lots of scientists because the property is very large. It's like 3,000 acres. So there's a lot of Indigenous archaeology, and there's... you know, amazing wildlife. We're a wildlife sanctuary, and we have, you know, botanists and zoologists and climate change scientists and all sorts of people mixing it up on the property. It's a very lively place, very embedded in the local community. So we've been busy.
Yeah.
We have been busy. But, you know, as part of what Arthur gave us, it was these amazing artworks that, of his own, like everything he owned at the point of the gift, but also the things he owned that he had acquired from all his peers. So he had, you know, I don't know, Charles Blackman, and Sidney Nolan was his brother-in-law. So we have nearly 100 Nolans in our collection, many of which were made on the property at Bundanon. Because Sid would go there every summer for about a decade and just paint there, and, you know, and then go back to Europe, I guess, when it got cold again. So, you know, there are a lot of artists, you know, Brett Whiteley and Joy Hester, lots of artworks by other artists of that generation. And then a lot of the artists who've stayed with us in the residency program have gifted works to us. So the long and the short of it is there's a very large and important collection. It's now worth about 46, 47 million. And it's one of the more significant national collections in Australia, supported by all this amazing archive material, which kind of tells the history of Australian art within it, because you get all those opening invitations from the 1960s and the newspaper articles and all the personal letters between people. So, you know, it's an amazing collection, and we needed somewhere to put it and look after it. And so we've commissioned this incredible new piece of architecture, which you've probably all been hearing about. I don't know, not everyone knows about it, but they will soon. We commissioned a wonderful Melbourne architect called Kirsten Thompson. She's absolutely brilliant, and we've worked with her over the last few years. And because the property is in the bush, it's quite fire prone, and we had a very big scare last year when the big fires came through the south coast. So she has designed an art museum that is actually embedded in the landscape. It's a beautiful landscape in the place where we've sited it. And she's kind of basically taken away a hill, built the art museum, and she's going to put the hill back on top. And what that means is it's completely protected from fire. It's just really, really clever. And of course, it's very stable temperature. So it's kind of responding, you know, to that climate threat that we're all living with at the moment. But we also asked her to make us some more accommodation for children and school students and our artists and all sorts of other visitors. And so the other aspect of this location is that it's very flood prone as well as fire prone. I mean, you know, so as you know, the Shoalhaven does do that. I don't know, it's the river does flood. every year. So she has built this incredible, huge flood bridge. It's like 160 metres long. It's right up high, nearly 20 metres in some points, up above the ground. And it's got all this accommodation on it, and it's absolutely spectacular. It's really wonderful. It kind of straddles across the landscape. And when you drive down the hill and you see it, and it's nearly ready, you're just blown away. So it strides across the hill, and then it's at a certain point it hits another hill, and then you can go into the gallery from there. So it's brilliant. It's really wonderful.
And in the museum itself, there'll be permanent exhibitions of this vast collection of works that the Boyd family has collected over time. But will there also be contemporary exhibitions by national and international artists?
Oh, there'll be amazing exhibitions by all sorts of artists, and it will have a lot of contemporary art. That's what Arthur wanted, was not just to show his work and the work of his family, but to also share the work of other artists. And he's very generous about the work that his peers and other artists made, and what children make, and all the rest. So, yeah, it's a contemporary art museum. It will obviously have, you'll be able to see, components of our collection at any given time on the property. But we're also, for our opening exhibition, we've got at least 10 new contemporary commissions made specifically for the new space. And in response to some ideas of Arthur's, which I can't share yet, but it's quite exciting. So it'll be a wonderful interplay between what the things that preoccupied him, the kind of ideas he had about landscape and sharing and indigenous culture and, contemporary life, all of his ideas. But then there's the contemporary perspectives on all of that, which will be in evidence as well. So the curatorial staff are working like mad, and it's just so exciting to be able to share a lot of this material, and actually to share a lot of work that artists have made at Bundanong, because many of these artists are down there at the moment making work for the opening show. So it's pretty incredible, actually. I can't believe it's actually going to happen.
That is so exciting. When are you planning on opening?
Well, that's a good point. November the 20th, I have to say. We are planning on November the 20th. I think we have to have nerves of steel. I think we have to hope that COVID will be kind to us by the end of the year, and that, it doesn't rain too much between now and then, and we can finish the building, although all the roofs are on now, so that's okay. So, yeah, we are planning the end of this year to be open. We'd love to be open for the summer. We want all those people who, have a chance to travel in the holidays, and hopefully we can travel by then, to be able to go down and to really see this quite visionary. And there'll be really, it is a response to, actually to the kind of climatic conditions that we're all now having to live with. We have to learn to live differently. I think now with the climate, we have to do more sympathetic things, not fight it all the time, try and live with it in intelligent ways. And I think this architecture really, really nails it. It shows the way forward in a kind of really future ways we can live in the Australian bush and with our wonderful, valuable artworks. And you don't have to always experience them in Sydney. You should be able to experience them all over, wherever they're made or wherever they are sited in Australia. Mm.
Something that our Sydney listeners can engage with at the moment is the We Need to Talk About Fire film series, which was made in response to the devastating bushfires in the summer of 2019. And why was it important for Bundanong to make these films?
Yeah, I think Arthur created Bundanong as a wildlife sanctuary, and he bought it to effectively lock it up in an environmental sense, to look after and care for that landscape. And he did have very powerful commitments to Indigenous prior custodianship. He was very, that's a very powerful message that comes through from Arthur anecdotally. So we work with the Indigenous community, First Nations communities around us, in all sorts of different ways. And one of the things that the local community said they wanted to do was to be able to practice cultural burning, which is a way of managing and living with the landscape by using fire very judiciously. And if you use it consistently, we're led to, you know, we understand, then you don't get catastrophic fires like we've been experiencing. If you manage the landscape very carefully by using fire all the time when it's not so hot. So we've been doing that at Bundanon for about 5 years in partnership with Firesticks, local Firesticks people. And after the bushfires happened, everyone was very traumatized, both the local Aboriginal Firesticks crew and ourselves and our neighbours, and everyone was really suffering. And actually, to be honest with you, we planned a big event. We planned an event for, 6 months after the fires, for the end of the year, where we thought, well, we're a place where the whole community could come together and actually have a conversation about what this has meant for us in every sense, psychologically and sort of, economically, and also what it's meant for how we think about the fires in future and how we manage living in this environment. So we had planned the event in quite a lot of detail, and we'd invited a lot of people to come and speak and be part of that event. And then, of course, COVID happened. So we had a quick rethink, and we thought, well, there's so many interesting people here talking about, the history of fire and what it's meant as a technology, not always a negative thing. Fire can be incredibly positive, and all societies use it for lots of different things, cooking, keeping warm, managing the landscape. So we thought there needed to be a big conversation about fire, and it was so personal to us because we nearly lost everything. So we decided we'd just make them as films. And we invited, a series of films, and we invited Bridget Eichen to produce those films, the wonderful filmmaker, and Wesley Enoch to lead those conversations in the films. And, they've been, in fact, they're just about to be broadcast through SBS, and they're actually, I think the National Museum of Australia is also about to use parts of those films in permanent displays. So they've actually had probably a much, much huger audience than all of us sitting around at Bundanon in a field listening. The ideas have gone out into the world much more broadly. And that is one of the sort of upsides of COVID, isn't it? That we've learned other ways to reach out and to talk with each other. So yeah, the films are really, really remarkable, and they're still on the website, of course.
That's about all we have time for. Deborah Ely, thank you so much for joining Carve today.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's lovely to meet you.